Wade Rath here with the Chief Organizer Report on Uber and corporate political campaigns. Uber, as many of us can't avoid knowing anymore, is the ride service accessed now in 170 cities around the world on smartphones and, according to Wall Street, valued at billions. Taxi drivers in Paris, London, New York, and elsewhere protested the fact that the service is unregulated and, of course, taking away business and, in the drivers' cases, regular employment. Both the legacy outfits and upstarts are based on the exploitation of so-called independent contractors, which has long been a fiction, now becoming ever more a fantasy. This is part of the so-called sharing or peer marketplace, and I'm going to have to admit I'm getting more and more uncomfortable about it, and the recent news from Uber is making me even more fidgety. Uber CEO Travis Kalanick was quoted as saying, "Uber has been in a political campaign but hasn't been running one. That is changing now." And what was changing now is the fact that he was hiring David Plouffe as Senior Vice President in charge of policy, branding, overall strategy, and communication. Plouffe becomes the latest Obama campaign veteran to cash in on his time in politics, most notably as campaign manager for Obama's historic successful race in 2008 and sometimes special advisor at the White House after that. At this point in the age of Koch Industries and so many others financing corporate political campaigns to the tune of gazillions, I wonder why it's even news. Furthermore, there's nothing about any of the politics of the libertarian-tilted techie Silicon Valley crowd that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. The fact that there are mostly white men who are young and naive and all about the money doesn't make me convinced that they are necessarily that much better than white men who are old and experienced and all about the money. I think we've earned the right to be skeptical. What kind of political campaign is this anyway? Consumers become the constituents, I assume, in the election? I'm not sure, but I guess the first polling would be moving the consumer voters against their city council members to vote to let Uber and others like it do anything they want. The leverage on consumers is the claim of savings and the promise of buying something a little more exclusive and a lot more luxe than the average day-in, day-out yellow cab handling any and everyone might be able to provide. A management lawyer I encountered frequently in bargaining union contracts in Louisiana told me a story about how his firm used Uber to get into San Francisco from the airport for a case they were handling last year. His crew loved the Uber. On the other hand, talking to a woman driver from Missoula local company called Airport Shuttle, who'd been driving the van for the company for years, as she met us at 4:30 a.m. to spirit us out of the West, we discussed the seasonality of her work there and how easily it would be to marginalize the business with random on-call drivers. She wasn't an Uberite. I've been a part of organizing drives for taxi drivers in Dallas and New Orleans over the years, and our informal workers unions still represent auto rickshaw drivers in Delhi. There's a reason that cities regulate common carriers on public roads to ensure safety standards and even rate charges and accurate readings on the meters. Certainly taxi companies in cities and at airports have always been political contributors, so I don't begrudge the Ubers of the world for putting their money into the game as well. But are we sure that an unregulated industry is the best for citizens who are also consumers? I'm not. As Plouffe's 2008 plan has taught all of us, hope is not a plan. I think they both have a hard sell on this campaign. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.